Hey, welcome back to the Shift with Beth podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and this is part two of our little two-part series on No Emotion is the Problem. So if you haven't heard part one yet, pause this, go listen to the first one. Today, we're going even deeper. So we talked about in the first part how no emotion is actually the problem. It's the story we attach to it and lots of other things in that part. One, and today we're talking about where all of this actually comes from, why it can be even harder for some of us than others, and how we end up passing it on to the people we love the most without even meaning to. Let's get into it. I want to share something that I heard that has genuinely stayed with me and completely changed how I move through hard emotions. It was a podcast on Jay Shetty's show from Lily Reinhart. And when I heard it, I just stopped and had to listen to it a few times. And I think about this often when I'm in hard feelings. So she says something like this. Imagine you started out as a celestial being, just energy. And the universe or God or whatever you believe in came to you and said, hey, do you want to go to Earth for an incredibly short amount of time, like a blip, and experience every single emotion you could possibly feel as a human? Love, heartache, anxiety, joy, euphoria, betrayal, grief. Do you want to do that? And the answer is yes. And she said when she's stuck in a feeling of darkness, she uses that as a grounding point to step outside of it for a moment and say, although this is uncomfortable and painful, it's actually so beautiful that I have the capacity to feel it all. And I love that so much because it reframes everything. Not just the hard emotions, but having all of them. Like we signed up for this. The grief, the fear, the anxiety, all of it was part of the deal. And so was the joy and the love and expansion. And you can't have one without the other. I have felt some of the most painful emotions of my life over the last several years. And I can honestly say I'm genuinely grateful for them because here's what I know now. The depth at which you can feel grief is the same depth at which you can feel joy. You can't have one without the capacity for the other. When you allow yourself to go all the way into the pain, you also unlock your ability to go all the way to the beautiful, expansive happiness you've ever known. There is nothing wrong with you for feeling what you feel. You're not broken. You're not too much. And you're definitely not failing at life. You're having the full human experience. And I truly feel like that is exactly what we came here to do. I want to slow down here for a second. In part one, I asked you to notice your own inner critic, the voice that's telling you that something's wrong with you for feeling what you feel. And I want to go a layer deeper on that now because I think it's so worth looking at where that voice actually started for you. So take a breath with me. And I want you to think back to your childhood. What did you learn about emotions in your house growing up? Were you allowed to cry? Or were you told to stop or toughen up or not make a scene? Was there a parent in your home who was anxious or who you learned to read and manage so things would feel okay? Were you the one who had to be okay so everyone else could be okay? Just notice what comes up. And we're not trying to blame anyone here. We're just building awareness because here's the thing. Most of us didn't learn about emotions through anyone sitting us down and explaining them. We learn by watching, by absorbing, by observing how our primary caregivers handled their own feelings and how they responded to our feelings. If you were shut down when you cried or judged for being too sensitive or made to feel like your emotions were a burden, your nervous system learned something from that. It learned that certain feelings were not safe. And that lesson stays with you. It follows you into how you handle stress now, how you show up in your relationships, and how you parent your own kids. And I also want to talk about where your inner critic came from, because this ties directly into it. That harsh voice that jumps in and tells you something's wrong with you the moment you feel a hard emotion. That voice was usually developed early too. Often it's an internalized version of a parent or a caregiver's voice, sometimes literally the exact words they use. Do you guys feel this? Like, I have certain lines that like haunt me from my past relationship and just from other things, right? That's the voice. So ask yourself, whose voice is this? Sometimes it's a tone or a feeling, a sense that you had to perform or manage yourself to be accepted. And that voice felt protective at the time. As a kid, if criticizing yourself first kept you safer, kept you more in control, kept you ahead of disapproval, then your inner critic was actually trying to help you survive your environment. But you're not in that environment anymore. And the voice that once protected you is often the same voice now keeping you from feeling safe in your own emotional experience as an adult. This is just awareness. You don't have to do anything with it right this second. Just start noticing where that voice comes from and start asking yourself, is that actually true? Or is this just an old voice playing on repeat? And I want to say something here specifically about men, because I think this deserves to be named. It is hard for all of us to learn that our emotions are safe to feel. But for men, it's often even harder. The conditioning runs deep. Toughen up. Don't cry. Be strong. Boys don't do that. From a really young age, so many men are taught that vulnerability is weakness. That their feelings, especially anything soft or sad or scared, needs to be hidden or shut down entirely. And I'm not saying women don't get this message too. We absolutely do. But it's different for men. There's this added layer of shame around it. An added layer of what it means about their masculinity, their strength, their worth. So if you're a man listening to this, or you love a man who struggles to access or express what he's feeling, I want you to know that none of that is a personal failure. It's conditioning. And it can be unlearned with practice, with safety, with permission, with healing. I also want to talk about something that makes this even more layered, which is what happens when you consciously try not to repeat a pattern. Say you grew up with a parent who had a lot of unprocessed anger. Maybe they yelled. Maybe they were volatile. Maybe you walked on eggshells. And so you might have made a vow to yourself, I am never going to be like that. I am never going to let my anger out like that. And that's a really understandable response. But sometimes it makes you go in way the other extreme. You become so afraid of your own anger that you become overly gentle, overly accommodating, completely unable to access or express anger, even when it's appropriate and healthy to do so. You're not free from the pattern. You're just on the opposite end of it. In both ends, the explosive end and the completely suppressed end, keep you from actually having a healthy relationship with anger. And this is what I mean when I say emotions are so much more complex than people think. It's not just about whether you express a feeling or not. It's about asking yourself, what did I learn about this? What's actually true for me? And who do I want to be? Not who do I not want to be? But who would actually feel good to be? Sometimes that means giving yourself permission to learn what healthy anger even looks like. I honestly could do a whole separate episode just on anger because I have so much to say about it. In my somatic experiencing training, we spent an entire day specifically on anger, and it remains one of my favorite training days of all time out of literally dozens, because I realized something about myself in that training. I had done a lot of work validating my anger, telling myself it was okay to feel it made sense. But validating an emotion and actually releasing it out of the body are two completely different things. Learning the tools to physically release anger in a healthy way was incredible. I felt so much more free afterward. I couldn't believe what my body was carrying. And I just realized, like, I have been validating it, and it made so much sense, but I was holding on to it. I haven't actually known how to express anger in a healthy way until this training. So that's probably a whole episode on its own. I'm super passionate about this topic, so stay tuned for that one. But for now, just start noticing. What did you learn about anger? Are you overcorrecting in either direction? And what would it look like to find your own healthy relationship with it, separate from what you were taught? Are you enjoying this episode? I hope so. If you're finding this content helpful and want to learn how to implement these tools, teachings, and practices into your daily life with the support of a safe community, I really want to invite you to check out the Shift membership. This is a monthly membership subscription that includes a monthly hot seat coaching call with me personally, where you can connect with me live on Zoom and ask questions to get support. We also do one monthly live breathwork session for the community, so you can experience all this work together. If you're curious and want to learn more, be sure to check out the link in the description of this episode or by going to shiftwithbeth.com/membership. All right, let's get back to this episode. Now I want to talk about how we pass this down, because so much of our discomfort with emotions did not start with us. It started with what we were taught, often without anyone realizing they were teaching it. Think about what happens when a child's crying. What's the instinct? Don't cry. You're okay. Get the child to stop. And again, that comes from love. We don't want to see them hurting. But what we're actually communicating in that moment is, your feelings are too much. Your feelings are a problem. You need to stop feeling this so that I can feel comfortable again. And kids absorb that. They learn that certain emotions are not safe to have, and they carry that into adulthood. And they end up sitting across from someone like me, wondering why they can't access what they feel, or why they're judging their feelings so much. And here's something important that I want to bring awareness to. Being able to hold space for your kids' emotions takes your own inner work. It's not just a parenting technique you can apply on top of a dysregulated nervous system. If you haven't done the work to sit with your own discomfort, you are going to get triggered when they're upset. You're going to feel that activation in your body, and your instinct is going to be to make it stop. Not because it's bad for them, but because you can't actually tolerate it yourself. And because so many of us were never taught how to help a child move through a feeling, we reach for quick fixes, distract them, redirect them, minimize it, give them something. And sometimes when the emotions feel big enough or persistent enough, the instinct is to think something is wrong with them and go get a diagnosis. And again, I want to be really careful here because this is sensitive. There is absolutely a place for that. And for some kids, it is the right and necessary support. Medication can be life-changing, life-saving. But what I'm talking about is when we jump straight into fixing it with that and labeling them before anyone has gotten curious about what's actually underneath. Before the child has, or the teenager has even been given the space to feel and be seen in what they're feeling. We can end up communicating the same thing we've always communicated, that the emotion itself is the problem to be eliminated, rather than just a signal worth listening to and allowing them to feel. A Band-Aid can stop the bleeding, but it doesn't tell you why the wound is there. And our kids, our teenagers, they deserve both. They deserve support, and they deserve someone willing to get curious with them about what's actually going on underneath, creating safety for them to feel it. So here's what it looks like to do it differently. When your kid or teenager's sad, or adult kid even, instead of rushing to fix it, try just sitting with them in it. You can say something like, I see you're really sad right now. That makes sense. I'm right here. You don't have to explain it or solve it. You just have to let them know that what they're feeling is okay and that they're not alone in it. And I truly believe that this is one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids. The felt experience that their emotions are safe, that they don't have to manage your comfort in order to have their feelings. That is how you raise someone who knows how to process instead of suppress. When someone you love is in pain, of course, the urge is to fix it. to offer solutions, to reframe it, to talk them out of it. And I get that because watching someone you love suffer is genuinely hard. But most of the time, that's not what they need. What they need is to feel like they're not alone in it, to feel like they're not crazy sometimes, to feel like they're not too much. That's it. So here's what holding space actually looks like in practice. I think this really helps to just define it. First, resist the urge to jump to solutions. When your partner says, "I'm really struggling," the instinct is to immediately say, "Well, have you tried this? Or I think you should do this." And that impulse comes from love, but what it communicates is, "I'm not comfortable with you being in this feeling. Let me get you out of this feeling as fast as possible." Instead, just start with, "Tell me more." And let them tell you more. Let them explain it more. And then second, validate before you do anything else. Validation is so underrated, you guys. Validation doesn't have to mean that you agree with everything they're feeling or saying, or that the feeling makes sense. It just means you're acknowledging that the feeling is real. Something like, "That makes complete sense that you feel that way." Or just, "I hear you. That sounds really hard." You'd be amazed how much that alone can shift someone's nervous system. Third, ask what they need. This one is so simple and so underused also. Before you decide how to respond, just ask, "Do you need me to just listen right now? Or do you want me to help thinking through some of this?" Most of the time, they just want to be heard. But asking gives them the choice, and it takes the pressure off you that you are supposed to guess what they need. What do you need right now? Fourth, try to stay in your body. This is the hardest one. When someone you love is in pain, your nervous system is going to want to match that activation sometimes. You might feel the pull to get anxious with them, or to shut down or get frustrated because you can't fix it. So just notice that. Take a breath. You can have compassion for what they're feeling without taking that feeling on. So trying to be steady. When you stay regulated, their nervous system has something safe to co-regulate with. What you're not trying to do is make the feeling go away. You're just trying to make them feel less alone in it. That's the whole thing. And also that's freeing. It's not your job to make them feel better. It's their job. But you get to hold space and support in the ways that you can, but you don't have to take it on. Not making it a problem that they're upset or getting activated by their activation, just holding steady and letting them feel what they feel without judgment. But just like with our kids, this requires something of you first. You can't offer steady presence to someone else's hard emotion if you haven't built the capacity to be with your own. If their sadness or anger triggers your own unprocessed stuff, you won't be able to hold space. You'll go straight into fixing or defending or shutting down. And that's what happens when the nervous system hasn't had practice staying regulated around discomfort. That kind of witnessing is one of the most intimate things two people can do for each other. And it requires that you've done some of your own inner work around sitting with discomfort. Because if you can't be with your own hard feelings, it's really difficult to be with someone else's. So I want to share a real example of how I work through all the different feelings. And this happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was in San Diego at my daughter's dance nationals, just her and I. And when she was in classes one day, just kind of what felt like completely out of nowhere, which this always happens to me when grief comes up, I'm like, whoa, like it can come up so unexpectedly. That's the thing about grief. You never know when it's going to surface. It doesn't ask for your permission, like to come. It just arrives. And I've grown a lot through feeling grief over the years. I used to not want to feel it because it was just too painful. But I talk about grief as almost this sacred pain. And so when it comes in, I welcome it. Oh, here it is. It's actually beautiful because I am grieving something that I once had that I lost, that I don't have anymore. And I just let myself be with it. Also in San Diego was where I did my first 2 years of my somatic training. And so I decided to drive over to the marina where the training was. There's just a lot tied to that place for me. And I just wanted to go on a walk there and just let myself feel whatever I was feeling. And while I was in it, I noticed something else too. I wasn't feeling creative. I've been feeling behind on getting podcast episodes ready. And I was feeling this very like low motivation, low inspiration. And when I get like that, my instinct is just to want to shut down completely, to quit, to stop trying. I start asking myself things like, what's even the point of any of this? The inner critic comes in and shows up with the grief, like, thanks, you know? But I'm naming this because I think it's so important. When you're in an uncomfortable emotion like grief, everything else in life can start to feel really overwhelming too. It's like that emotion kind of bleeds into everything. Suddenly, work feels like too much, and your to-do list feels impossible, and your relationships feel heavy. And before you know it, you're in a spiral. One feeling becomes all the feelings at once. And I've learned to recognize that. This is what was happening to me. When I notice that suddenly everything feels overwhelming, I just am checking in with myself. What's underneath here? Okay, yeah, this is grief. This is temporary. And because I've done this work, I was able to just be with it all. Know that I'm safe. I was not in danger. I was just in a process. And that word matters to me, process, because these experiences take time. I call them processes. Grief doesn't always resolve in an afternoon. Some emotions need a few hours. Sometimes they fluctuate throughout the day. Sometimes it's a few days. But knowing that you're going to come out on the other side, that this is temporary, that you're moving through something rather than suppressing it and pushing it down, that awareness is so powerful. And it changes your relationship to the whole experience. So I had it all at once. Grief, doubt, exhaustion, critical voice. And I just let myself feel all of it. Didn't push it or away or try to fix it. Just let myself feel it. Didn't judge it. And that's such a beautiful space to be able to be in from, like, I wasn't always this way with my emotions. And then later that night, I FaceTimed Randy, just kind of shared with him about my day. And as I was sharing with him, my emotion came up again. Because I'm being witnessed by my safe partner in my pain. And I got to feel that too. He didn't try to fix it either. He just held space for me. He validated what I was feeling. That's it. That's all I needed. So I got a good night's sleep that night. And the next morning I woke up. I was a little emotionally exhausted, but just feeling a lot better. I got a workout in, and then, like, out of nowhere, I started feeling my creativity come back online again. And I sat and I started writing this two-part series about emotions. And it just flowed. It came easily, the way things do when you let yourself process something instead of forcing yourself into creativity. Like, it just flowed. And then later that day, I had a phone call with my brother-in-law, Jilson, that I absolutely love. And I just could feel my energy shifting. And I got to go meet one of my clients in person for the first time. She lives in La Jolla, and we've been working together for over a year, doing such beautiful, deep work. And when I, this, the level of support and the experiences I have with my one-on-one clients are my most sacred work. And so I got to go meet her for lunch and meet her in real life. And I just was feeling this overwhelming sense of gratitude. Gratitude for the work I get to do. Gratitude that I have clients all over the country and they're so incredible. Gratitude that I get to sit across from this client in real life after over a year of connection. And I just felt all this expansion and abundance and joy. And the day before, I felt grief and pain and doubt and exhaustion and overwhelm and my inner critic being so loud. And here's what I want you to hear. I truly don't think that one day was better than the other. They were just different days. I'm a human being and I let the emotions come in when they come in and I trust the process. That's what freedom actually looks like. It's a belief that I hold And you can have that too if you want to change the story that you have about your uncomfortable emotions. It is impossible to be happy and motivated and positive all the time. So when you can open up to allowing all of the emotions, you have access to a kind of freedom that's honestly hard to put into words. It's just a beautiful way to live. And this is the work, all of it. Learning to feel, teaching our kids it's safe to feel, showing up for the people that we love when they feel. That's what it means to be in a real relationship with yourself and with others. All right, so I want to give you something to take with you. Maybe this week, just inviting you to just notice. Notice how you feel when emotion comes in without trying to fix anything or change anything or do anything different. Just pay attention. Notice when an uncomfortable emotion comes up and what your instinct is. And then maybe just once this week, trying something different. Instead of reaching for something to escape the emotion and take yourself away from it, just pause, take a breath. Maybe put your hand on your heart or wherever it feels good to you and just ask yourself, could I just let myself feel this right now? Name what the emotion is, even in your head. This is anxiety. This is grief. This is loneliness. This is fear. This is okay. It's okay for me to feel this. I'm safe. This is something that I am invited into processing if I could just allow it. And if you have a partner or a kid or a teenager who's going through something this week, try this with them too. Instead of fixing it, sit with them. Make it be okay. Tell them to ask them, tell me more about that. I hear you're saying you're sad. That makes so much sense why you're sad about that. Is it okay for you to feel that? I'm right here with you. That's where it starts. Okay, little shifts, one moment at a time, one feeling at a time. Practice having grace and compassion for yourself. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoyed this series. Please come find me on Instagram. Send me a DM. Tell me what resonated with you. Share this with someone who maybe you know that is judging them, their emotions a lot, that thinks there might be something wrong with them for the emotions that they feel. I know I had that story about myself for a long time. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. If it feels good to you, leaving a 5-star review really, really helps to grow the podcast. And, you know, I would just love to connect with you guys. So reach out anytime. Thank you for being here. It's such an honor that you're here with me, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.